Under today, it's the only thing there. What? Yeah. Okay, so is Audacity going? Oh, we are good. Okay, we read today, Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out her seven columns. She's prepared a great banquet, mixed wines, and set her table, inviting everyone to come. God invites everyone to come today. Come to his table, come to his banquet, come to his feast, come to all the good things that God wants to give us. Really, the good thing is him. You're all we never needed. So, Lord, we ask, come, commune with us. Teach us today. In Jesus' name. Well, usually I start out with a little humor, but I'm a little frustrated this morning. I had a prop that I was going to use to do part of the humor, and I've been looking all over for it. I had some sunglasses that I was going to use. What? Oh, there we are. Thank you. So, they're right in front of me. I couldn't see them. It was black on black. But you could. Okay. So, what's always in front of you, but you can never see it? Your future. The future's always in front of you, but we can't see it. God knows it. And God will help guide us there through his word and his spirit. Now, this actually happened. I know I kind of staged it. But Ren and I thought it would be pretty appropriate because Ren and I were checking out of the hotel. You know, you look around, make sure you got everything, got my hat, got my luggage, got my billfold, got my phone, chargers are packed up. And I said to Ren, where's my, can't find my sunglasses. They were not in the bathroom, they were not on the counter, they were not on the nightstand. They had been next to my hat not that long ago. And then they were right there. Right there in plain sight, and I couldn't see it. A lot of things about God are right there in plain sight, but we can't see them. Our scripture is 1 Timothy 1:1. And I set it up for so that our Spanish guests could read it. So Doris gets a double blessing. She can read it in English and read it in Spanish. And Kiki can read it. You can read it in both. So 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul lived under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy lived under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we at Micanopy Christian Fellowship live under the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we'll explore what it means to live by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's two things. First, we teach the way of Jesus, or the way to Jesus, the way to Jesus. And second, we teach the way of Jesus. At Micanopy Christian Fellowship, we aim to put ourselves under God's commands in the Scriptures, the Bible, so that we may be found walking in the way of Jesus. We encourage all our members to teach the way to Jesus and to teach the way of Jesus. So let's start out, the way to Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "This is a faithful and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe him for everlasting life." Jesus Christ, our Lord, died on the cross for forgiveness of sins and to bring eternal life to those who believe. The way of Jesus is based on one fact and one act. The fact is that he died on the cross for our sinful actions, our sinful attitudes, which separated us from God, and which still these actions, when we sin, they attempt to break our fellowship with God. But Jesus died on the cross so that we always have forgiveness for whatever's been done. The fact that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins opens up a possibility of forgiveness and relationship with God. Everyone has this possibility laid before them. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But there's a second part to this. That's a fact. The act is when we believe and receive Jesus as our Savior, the Lord of our life. And this comes out quite well when we see that we have sinned against God and we have sinned against another person, and we understand that, yeah, God, I need your forgiveness at this point again. I didn't mean to do that, but I sure enough did it. I need your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me. And the act is to believe and receive Jesus as our Savior, as the one who forgives our sins. Believing in him puts us in right relationship with him so that we actually can be under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we come down to the fact is that Jesus is able to save you. The question is, have you acted to receive his gift of forgiveness and eternal life? Have you actually gone to him and done that? When you sin, do you go back to him and say, "Thank you, God, for forgiving me"? Okay, John 4, the woman at the well, you remember the woman at the story of the woman at the well, that she chased after many failed relationships. And Jesus offered her living water, a relationship with him that would satisfy her longings with the feast God had prepared. And I think back to a verse in Isaiah. And unfortunately for this lady, because she was a Samaritan, she'd never read Isaiah. But here it is in Isaiah, what God was talking about. Isaiah 25, verse 6. Here on Mount Zion, the Lord Almighty will prepare a banquet for all the nations of the world, a banquet of the richest food and finest wine. Listen to this. God's love and provision for us is like a feast. And as we listen, he continually reminds us of how great the Father's love is for us. And he will suddenly remove the cloud of sorrow that has been hanging over the nations. Just think about how the coming of Jesus has removed the cloud of sorrow from the world. Jesus has, over the last 2,000 years, has transformed this world. We could still be a nation or a world of small tribes fighting with each other. Each one trying to jump in and get some booty from the next city over. You know, we could be fighting with McIntosh. We could be protecting ourselves from Gainesville. But Jesus gave us a commonality so that we actually have a world. I know there's wars going on, but when you think of where we live, we have relative peace. And we have for a long, long time. And this is part of what the Western culture that was built on Jesus and his teachings has brought us. Because when you have wars, nothing gets built. You build a house, somebody tears it down. Build another house, somebody comes and tears it down. You plant a field, somebody comes and takes it right when you're ready to get the grain in. But God has brought us a banquet just for our country. And he's brought us a banquet for each one of us. We're living in a place where we know him. We don't go home. I love what Deborah mentioned last time, how she would be every night trying to count, see if she had enough money to buy all the things she needed for the next week. On Sharing Sunday, Deborah gave her testimony. And she told about how one night God just spoke to her and said, I've got this for you. Remember? The peace that she expressed that came over her. God's got this. So, Jesus removes the sorrow of the world, the sorrow for our sin, the feelings that things are just not right. But Jesus sets us right with God so that things can be right. Next, 8. The sovereign Lord will destroy death forever. How awesome is that? I just loved it that my first wife said to me, she said, she knew that there's a good chance cancer might take her in her last days. And she said, don't worry, I'm not afraid to die. What comforting words are those? For her, for me, and he will wipe away the tears from everyone's eyes and take away the disgrace his people have suffered throughout the world. The Lord himself has spoken. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." Death no longer has a hold on us. Death never, no longer has the sting, because we know that we have eternal life with Jesus. In Ephesians 2:8, this gets summarized by saying, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Walking in them. Second, we teach people the way of Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:16. "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." We've received mercy. We've obtained eternal life together with Jesus so that our life might be a pattern to others. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." So that's what we say. As I'm imitating Christ, the Christ-like things you see in me, you imitate those. Now, if you see something that's not Christ-like, then you tell me about it. Don't imitate that. But we seek to imitate God, imitate Jesus, imitate those that we see that are ahead of us on the path in certain areas. Imitate that. If you see somebody showing kindness, then show kindness. Like the guy in the back that comes and gets her plates all the time on Sharing Sunday. If you see someone sharing the gospel, then share the gospel. If you see someone stepping out on faith, then ask God, "Hey, where do you want me to step out?" If you see someone serving, then serve. If you see someone praising God, put your hands up too. Last Sunday, again, I'll talk about Deborah. She gave her testimony of the fact that God drew her to believe and that she did act to align herself with God. She gave us an example of putting her life under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I received a card. She was asking for people's addresses. And I received a card from an unknown person. I think I know who it is. Just thanking me. Thanking me for following Jesus. So, if you see somebody doing good, ask God how he would want you to do something similar. It doesn't have to be the same thing. It's a groove of kindness. Just run in the same groove of kindness. Daily we walk in a world where we're being taught all the time. There's people saying things to us, machines saying things to us. There's positive and negative examples. We watch. People are always teaching other people one thing or another. They may teach where there's a good mechanic. They may teach what's some godly music to listen to. They may teach How to find substances that make our bodies healthy, or those which pollute our body and our soul. They may teach us how to show a kindness to edify people, or how to use language that tears people apart from the down to the very soul. But we at Micanopy Christian Fellowship teach people the way of Jesus, how to align our body, mind, and spirit to the desires of Jesus and not our own desires. Simple question. Am I imitating God? Did what I just say imitate God? Did what I just do imitate God? Is what I'm planning to do in line or in conflict with what God has revealed in the Bible? To those people who teach contrary to Jesus, we command them, as Paul commanded Timothy, stop teaching what is false. To continue in the way of Jesus, we must help each other. Just as I did not see the sunglasses, but you could, we must help each other to walk in truth. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you or her spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." And in Proverbs it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Mutual correction strengthens faith and character. Can we go to the next slide? Yeah. So here we are. This is our airplane, the airplane of life. We're here as a body of Christians to help each other imitate God and keep each other from running into the ditch. We see people run into the ditch every day. So I like to think that we are tail gunners for each other. Now, the tail gunner in World War II changed the war. It kept bombers up in the air when the enemy, you can see the enemy there flying behind him. And tail gunners, as tail gunners, we protect the body of Christ from the schemes of the enemy. You notice that the pilot can't look back. He can only look forward where he's going. But if he's got a tail gunner, he can look behind and see who's sneaking up on his rear end. And that's what the devil likes to do. He likes to sneak up in a rear attack. Frontal attacks don't normally work very well, but a rear attack can be pretty good. So, tail gunners protect the body of Christ from the schemes of the enemy. And Paul says, we are aware that the enemy has schemes. We may not see that we are getting shot up from behind, but because our tail gunner clearly sees the enemy right behind us, he can warn us and protect us. Look around. People around you, who's your tail gunner? Who's your tail gunner? Have you invited them in on your fight? Or is your tail wide open to the enemy? Jesus commanded Paul to tell Timothy, to tell the church, to have tail gunners, to shoot down people with bad thoughts. That's essentially what he said, is when you see people that are spreading heresies, you need to tell them to stop. Tell the whole church to tell them to stop. We're not going to have this go on. We have the devil chasing us from a number of ways that we do not see. For parents, you understand how this works. Your kids think they understand everything. But you know that you can see things that they can't see. And the only way they can grow up is for them to begin to understand that, hey, other people can see things that I can't see. And we need tail gunners. So how many have ever heard the story of a high-profile preacher fall? Every one of us probably have heard several of those stories. The reason he fell was he didn't have a tail gunner. He didn't have people that he wanted to talk to them and have tell him the truth. In 1 Peter, next slide. 1 Peter, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Jesus tells us in Matthew, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I review my song most every morning, whether I play it or sing it in my mind. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, to remind myself. 1 Timothy 6:9. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." It's not talking to rich people. It's talking to anybody that has this desire to have the things that God doesn't say is going to be useful to them. And we put a picture up here. I almost was going to show a movie. This is called a hydraulic hole. I had a movie, but it had a lot of screaming in it, so I won't play it. A guy went down in this hydraulic hole while he's kayaking. He flipped up, went down in the hole again. People are, you know where this could go. But he had enough sense to get out of the kayak, and then about 15 seconds later, there he is floating with his life jacket on. You still don't see the kayak because it's just flipping around in this hydraulic hole that will go on as long as water comes down. So, some of us have seen people in the hydraulic hole of life and sin. They get in, they think they're out, and they get enough air, and then they come around again. And they come around again. I know a relative of my daughter who gets out of jail. He goes right back in. He can't be but 2 months without having some sort of a robbery. And she says, when he says, "Can I come and stay at your house when I'm out of jail?" She says, "No, you can't. You got to make it on your own. You got to make the choice. You can't come to my house and start making these choices." So, get out. That's why we have tail gunners. They'll tell us to just even stay away from that hole. And if we get into the hole, they're going to, like Jesus' hand, reach down and pull us out. Because really, Jesus has to pull us out. Has to pull us out of any hole we get into. I want to talk just about this in a little bit because it says, those desires, they plunge men into destruction and perdition. Just think of discontentment. Discontentment is not just simply centered on money. It can be on anything. what we look like compared to others, my friends, my clothes, my car, my home, my phone, my want to be liked by others. The desire of discontentment does what? It drowns us. It puts us in this hydraulic hole. And so it's important for us to be content. The fact is that Jesus has everything I need, and that I can act believing Jesus and take his hand and pull me out. Just as Deborah mentioned in her testimony, she reached out to him and he pulled her out. Contentment is something we gain by believing that Jesus is everything we need. In Hebrews it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Remember, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. He's got things prepared for us. His love and provision is like a feast. And all we have to do is believe and receive it from him. So, reviewing, we are under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. We teach the way to Jesus to those around us. And if you'd like some help on that, you can go to resources and look at Discover God in the Sciences. There's a lot of resources there to help connect God, or help people to connect to God in a variety of ways. So we teach people the way to Jesus. And the fact is that Jesus died on the cross for our sinful actions and attitudes. And the act is that we believe and receive Jesus Christ as Savior of our life. And that's what we teach. Second, we teach people the way of Jesus. We teach that way by living. Imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Look on the bulletin board, and you'll see people that are imitating Christ. They're working at doing things that God has for them to do to love other people around them. And so it's full of all kinds of ways. And you might be in some of those pictures. Remember that the devil walks about round like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So, talk to your tail gunner. Make sure you have one. Make sure you talk together so that you can protect each other from the schemes of the enemy and from the holes of discontentment. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for these saints here. Pray for everyone here that they would know Christ as their Savior. That everyone would follow you in such a way that they can say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." God, protect us from discontent. Protect us from any of those things that might render us unfit for your use. And Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your understanding, your spiritual wisdom and understanding. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.